Chapter 2, The Match. How do you find your prospective partner? In the 1800s, two sisters, Olivia and Elizabeth Norris, fell in love with two dashing young men. One was a candle maker, the other was in the soap trade. And they little realized that their brothers-in-law would forge one of the greatest commercial partnerships of all time. At first, the two husbands were fierce business rivals, but their mutual father-in-law spotted their partnership potential. In 1837, he finally convinced them to work together in their new hometown of Cincinnati. English immigrant William Proctor and Irish newcomer James Gamble finally shook hands and started out together. The rest is Proctor and Gamble history. Most of us probably can't rely on coincidence and a perceptive in-law to find our business partners and create a union like Procter & Gamble. It's certainly not unusual for family or friends to start a venture together. But in my experience, the closer the relationship, the more damaging the potential consequences if things go wrong. In fact, I guess that business partnerships have harmed as many friendships as they created. And as an attorney, I've certainly seen the wreckage. That's not to say that partnerships of friends don't work. We'll meet some later. But friendship alone is usually not the reason why they do. The reason that friendship-type partnerships can go awry is simple. We make assumptions. The more we know people, the more we tend to take them at face value. We don't ask the hard, probing questions that should accompany any kind of due diligence in business. Just because our friends make us feel good or we work well together doesn't mean we can run a business together. Friendship partnerships, especially with women as I've found, tend to downplay the money and business aspects of a partnership and emphasize the relationship aspects. But a solid business partnership has to be as much about business as it is about partnership. Or, as John D. Rockefeller put it, a friendship founded on business is a good deal better than a business founded on friendship. Family relationships raise similar concerns and issues, and we'll address that in more detail in Chapter 12. Sometimes we grasp at the first potential business partner who walks through the door, whether they're friends or not. We're so convinced that Prince or Princess Charming has arrived to whisk us off to the land of big profits that we totally overlook and discount all of his or her shortcomings. When you sense the panic start to grab you by the throat, take a deep breath. Don't rush into making this decision. Take your time. Never make assumptions about the person or people you're considering just because you think you know them. The impulsive behavior that underlies all this reminds me of an Aesop's fable of the fox and the goat. A fox was trapped down a well. He entices a goat to join him by saying the water's the best he ever tasted. The goat has concerns about going into the well, but the crafty fox promises to help the goat get out again. Once the goat's in the well, the fox jumps on the goat's back, climbs out, and takes off. "Hey, help me get out of here," said the goat. "You've got more hairs in your beard than brains in your head," said the fox. "Otherwise, you wouldn't have gone down the well without thinking how you were going to get back up." The moral of the story? Look before you leap. Don't place your trust in someone without firm evidence to back it up. In the fable, the goat set aside his instincts and let his thirst get the better of him. In business, though, you can test for qualities like trust and collaboration, as well as other ingredients that can confirm the suitability of your partnership candidate. We'll talk a little more about how to do this in the next chapter. For now, though, let's consider a few other aspects of this potential relationship. They involve filling gaps and facing challenges. Do you know and understand why you want a partner in the first place? What do you need? Where are the gaps? Are you looking for experience and expertise that you don't have? Someone with complementary skills who can bring out the best in you and support your efforts? Do you want a partner to work on the front line looking after business development? Or to fulfill perhaps the back office management and support functions? Whatever it is, the one thing you probably don't want is a competing partner. Someone who does exactly the same job as you. Because that can lead to a lot of duplicated effort, wasted energy, and conflict. The business can't grow well if you're carbon copies of each other. In the wise words of film producer Daryl Zanuck, if two people on the same job agree all the time, then one of them is useless. On the other hand, you want someone to challenge and stretch you. That was certainly an element of one of the most successful ever contemporary business partnerships. That was the one between Microsoft founder Bill Gates and his Harvard College buddy, Steve Ballmer. In the early days of the Windows and Office software company, Gates preferred a cautious financial management approach, whereas Ballmer was more of the risk taker. Often fireworks blew up between the two, especially concerning recruitment. Ballmer wanted to hire as many bright new people as he could find, whereas Gates urged caution. Ballmer even moved out of the house they shared because he couldn't see eye to eye with Gates. In the end, Ballmer won out, though, convincing Gates to agree to an ambitious recruitment and expansion program. His determination was a clear key factor behind the success of Microsoft. Most of the time, of course, Gates and Ballmer agreed on a number of the issues, which is just as well, because, like Zanuck's quotation, if they disagree all the time, then both are useless. So you need to find that middle ground between agreeing all of the time and disagreeing all of the time. With clarity about your partnership needs, you can cast about for suitable candidates. Maybe you already have an employee in the business whose abilities you want to exploit further or retain. This person has the clear advantage of being a known quantity, someone whose skills and personality traits you already recognize, and who knows and understands your business. Maybe a friend or family member could fill the role, although don't assume that a good friend will make a good business partner. That shift in roles could imperil your friendship. You might also consider peers, people working at an equivalent level in another business or industry, like my cousin Sam. Or you could talk to a headhunter, a consultant with expertise in tracking down exactly the sort of person you need and conducting preliminary interviews before presenting you with a shortlist. Just in case you weren't sure, here's a little bit of fortune cookie wisdom for you. Never return to the past to renew relationships. It holds true in business and in personal life. If you had a bad business breakup with a prior partner or senior colleague, that person should not be at the top of your A-list when considering business nuptials for a new venture. You see this too with some of the turbulent pop group reunions. Those old wounds usually don't heal properly, and the same tensions resurface. It may sound trite, but it's usually true. Consider also whether you need more than one partner, perhaps to provide different skill sets or to spread the management load in a fast-expanding business. A multiple partnership can be very attractive in a growing business. But note, you also raise the odds against finding and integrating the right people. The more partners, the more potential for incompatibility and factionalizing. Whether you bring them on one at a time or all at once, make sure that compatibility reigns and take your time to integrate people. More importantly, let's go back to the issue of self-assessment. I want you to build on the knowledge of yourself that you started to develop from the work in Chapter 1. How can you test for compatibility if you don't have a clear sense of your own skills, beliefs, and values? Answer, you can't. I mentioned earlier a self-assessment program called the Berkman Test. And although it's not free, the Berkman is one of the better methods of getting to know yourself. You can do it by completing an online questionnaire and interviewing with a Berkman consultant. The test has been around for a really long time, more than 50 years. But In its current form, it's still a highly relevant personality assessment. For more information when you're in front of your computer, visit www.berkman.com. And if you go back to the partnership book, there are a number of other tools that I mentioned in the appendix for ways that you can help to assess your partner's skills and personality traits. A less scientific but lower cost route for your self-assessment is to work through this book. You'll see a lot of the in-depth questions begin around chapter 5. And apply those questions to yourself before doing the same with your prospective partner. As you'll find, there's a lot to learn. Remember that having a partner, or becoming a partner, is a choice, not a necessity. So let's summarize. Don't rush into a partnership deal. Don't assume your friends will make good business partners. Understand your personal and business reasons for needing a partner. Explore all potential sources to find the right people. Get to know yourself better. So here are your action steps for Chapter 2. Make a list of the skills and qualities you're seeking in your ideal business partner or business partners. And also list the possible sources where you might find them. If you already have someone in mind, make a rough list of what you consider to be their strengths and weaknesses. Where might you anticipate problems? We'll explore that a little further in the next chapter. Sign up for the Berkman test, or run through the questions in this book and apply them to yourself before doing the same with your potential partner.